The views and opinions of this broadcast do not reflect the views and opinions of Armed Media, UNU Productions and its affiliates. Enjoy the show.
You are tuning in to Let's Talk Careers with Sarah. I'm aired every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. In this show, I talk about career advancement, resume revamps, interview expectations, how to stand out from the crowd, how to brand yourself, and skills you need to become a CEO. All of this is on Armed Radio online show, Let's Talk Careers with Sarah, exclusively on TuneIn Satellite and the Armed Radio Network.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Let's Talk Careers with Sarah. I'm here every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and today I have a special guest, Hani Rosengarten. Hani Rosengarten supports people in accepting themselves so that they can take this powerful boundary into their business and relationships. Her course, More Money, More Joy, is available on www.honeyrosengarten.com, and she's a number one Amazon bestseller who is currently writing a book on boundaries. Hani's unique method for creating boundaries have changed people's marriages, businesses, and how they feel every day.
Hey.
Hi, Hani.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Tell me about yourself. What led you to your career as a leader and why you chose this field as your career?
I'm Hani Rosengarten, and I am a thought leader. And how did I get started? Well, in my conversation with people, I was wondering, what would it be like if we all operated from a place of power? What would it be like if you gave yourself permission to be everything that you can be? That's what I became curious about.
Mm-hmm. And that's what led you to be who you are today.
Yes, by talking to people and being able to guide them into their empowerment and into their strength. That's what I did. That's what I've been doing more and more.
Mm-hmm. And what services do you provide right now?
I coach people. And I am offering you, the listener, a free half-hour coaching call. So whoever wants to go to my website, HaniRosengarten.com, you'll find my calendar there, and you can book a free coaching call. So I do calls, I do coaching, and I do courses. I have courses on empowering yourself by yourself so that you can shine inside of your life.
Mm-hmm. So that's good. So listeners out there, if you're looking for a coach or somebody who can help you with challenges that you're facing right now, Hani Rosengarten is the go-to person that you can book with her. And it's a half-hour session, which is really, you can get so much value from it. Now, Hani, what mistakes people are making in their career choices?
I'm going to rephrase the word mistake into experiences. Sometimes we have experiences inside of our businesses, inside of our work, that leads us away from ourselves. We start guilting ourselves. We start hating ourselves. We start blaming ourselves. We start saying, I should have done it better. When the truth is, it was an experience. And the only issue with that experience is that it led you away from yourself. But that gives you an opportunity to bring yourself back to your strength. So if you've had any experience that you want to call a mistake, ask yourself, how can I use that experience in service of myself, in service of growing, and then go there.
That's very good advice. By reflecting on the situation that a person experiences, really ask yourself a question, exactly how can you get over it?
Yeah.
Now, can the listeners transition, let's say they have a challenge right now by increasing their income and feeling kind of perhaps transitioning to self-employment with their professional background, maybe like a side hustle or something like that. How can they transition, even though there are challenges out there, like how can they transition smoothly?
So here's the thing. Transitions, the way they go smoothly, the way they are okay and you come out stronger and better and you feel okay throughout the process, is that you accept where you are and that you're fine with it being bumpy. Because if you're going on a ride and you know it's going to be bumpy, you're like, all right, this is just part of it, right? Think about going on an airplane, and as it's going up and down, that's when the airplane goes, you know, just kind of swings on both of its wings, goes from side to side. And if you don't know what's happening, that's pretty scary. But if you know that the airplane is just up-leveling, you are sitting in your seat and you're like, this is normal. This is good, right? This is good. We're going up. So when you're transitioning, transitions inherently are just like that airplane transitioning. It goes to one side. It swings back. It swings forth. You're trying to find your balance. You're trying to find your way. You will find your way. You'll be okay. But the way to be okay during the transition, besides for just trusting that once you get to the next place, you'll be fine there, being okay in the transition means this is how it's supposed to be. It's okay. You're doing great. Like, know that it's hard. It is. It's shaky. That's what a transition is. And when you know that, you're like, all right, I'm right where I need to be.
And what do they need to have in order to make that transition?
I think trust, there's a faith. There's a faith in yourself and in the world, right? You're being supported as you go through it. But the trust and the faith inside of yourself knows that wherever you land, you'll be fine. This may be what you'll later call a mistake. Or you might just call it an experience, right? This is an experience. So wherever you land up might not be exactly how you envision it in your mind, because our minds are interesting things, right? We can see a complete picture inside of our mind, and where we end up being is not always where our mind projected that we will be. But you'll be fine. You'll be in a better place. You will have learned. You will hopefully be, you know, you will have achieved your goals, hopefully. And even if not, you will have learned. So trusting in the process, trusting yourself is important, because if you're going to be jumping off that cliff, if you're going to be taking that leap of faith, you need to have faith that you're going to land, right? It's scary to transition. I mean, we're all like, we're talking during COVID-19. So a lot of businesses are shifting and a lot of things are changing. And what you had until now might not be working in the future, but you might be going towards something better, and you don't know yet because you're not there yet. But if you trust that right now, I'm taking this leap, and wherever I end up will be fine because I always have myself. So then you're taking that leap, and you're doing whatever you need to do. You're putting everything into it because you're trusting yourself and you're trusting the process. Like, I know that in the past, I needed to know that when I take an action, I needed to know the result. Because if I didn't know the result, then why was I doing it? Was I wasting my time? I was blaming myself. I was shaming myself for using the time wrongly. And especially, I just needed that assurance that at the end of it, I'm willing to invest, only if I know that at the end of it, I'm coming out with something very specific and very clear. But at some point, I stopped being outcome-oriented. We can't control the outcome. We can't. we could control who we are in this moment. So right now, you're a person who's choosing yourself. You're choosing to go and make progress. You're choosing to take the right step. That's who you are. That's who you trust. You trust that if you have all of these qualities right now, wherever you land will be amazing. And it might not be the exact thing that you wanted because we can't control the outcome, right? We can make the sales call. We cannot control the sale.
Right.
We can create something in our business. We cannot control, you know, how it's going to be perceived. That's outside of us. So taking that leap.
I totally agree with you. And like, what resources are out there that you know that can help them to, you know, to transition and actually become who they want to become?
So for me, two things. People, right? I'm just going to say it simply. People are the thing you need. We like to, a lot of us like to just trust ourselves, or we have so much lack of discernment or shame around, like, I'm going to share with other people, what are they going to think about me? But really, the two things that have helped me the most in my life, and both of them are people. One of them is coaches, right? They weren't specifically in my industry, but they were able to see and help me see myself to the most of my ability, to my biggest power. They were able to coach me into more of myself. So coaches are really important. And the other thing is people who are doing what you're doing. So here's something interesting. What I saw is that when someone is still not doing very well in their business, or they're starting out, or they're not really secure, and they're not really coming from a place of expertise, you'll see that they're giving away less information. So if you approach your colleague and you say, hey, you're doing this, tell me more about it, and he's like, I'm not giving you away my secrets, basically he's not very secure in his business himself. But if you go to someone who's a true expert and you say, look, I really want to do this, can you give me a half hour? I just want to hear what you did. I want to see what worked for you. They'll give very generously. Like someone who's already at the top of their field wants to bring in more people, wants to have a legacy of more people just like you who's doing what they're doing. So reach out. And if someone does not make themselves available to give to you, go up to the next level and go to the expert and ask them what they did, and they'll be able to tell you. So having that, the resource of a coach who's there with you, walks with you, and sees you better than you can see yourself, that's one thing. But also having the people who've done what you did and are willing to take you there, willing to guide you there, just because they want more people to be doing what they're doing. They're enjoying their success. They want to bring you in.
That's true. It's exactly what others who have done it successfully are not keeping it a secret. That's why they're experts. They're actually sharing their secrets to others.
Yeah.
And honey, I know also you have written a book. Can you tell more about it?
My book is called The Boundary Is You, and you can find it on my website called www.theboundaryisyou.com. So my book is about boundaries, and we hear about boundaries and we think about fences. This is where I stop, and this is the fence, and this is where you are. But the truth is that when you want to make boundaries, you're usually making boundaries with people who are important to you, people who are living with you, your family, your people in your business who are important to you, like your boss or your partner, right? Like, these are the people you want to make boundaries with. And you don't want to create fences, because living on the opposite side of a fence doesn't let you connect in the way that you need to connect to be, well, working with the other person, living with the other person, succeeding together with others. So my approach to boundaries is a little different, and my book is called The Boundary Is You, because you don't have to make fences in order to have boundaries. If you love yourself, if you know who you are, if you have the authority inside of your life to make decisions for your well-being, that's your boundary. And when you learn to do that, you don't have to push anyone away. You can connect as closely as you want and still have a sense of self inside of that relationship. So that's what the book is about. The book teaches you the land method, which is my method that I've come up with to support people in creating boundaries without putting up large fences, just by being themselves. The land method is an acronym for love, because you're loving yourself, you're accepting yourself. Authority, because you have the authority in your own life. N is for negotiation. How do we communicate once we have a sense of self? How do we communicate so that we benefit? And finally, D is for direction. Where are you going in your life? What do you want in your life? What's your vision? So that's the book on boundaries.
So the website to order is from www.theboundaryisyou.com.
Correct.
Okay. Now, honey, tell me about, share some case studies that that you had clients who reached out to you and how you were able to help them.
So I'm going to skip this question. And the reason I'm going to skip this question is because I have a hard time talking about the work that I do with people because I keep it sacred. It's their personal story. I have a hard time telling their story without telling their story, you know?
Yeah.
If I would write it down and change names and identifiers, you know, it would take me time to think, how can I completely change this while keeping the soul of it? My clients are sacred to me. Their process is deeply personal. What I do with my clients is I see them. I hold space for them to discover themselves and to empower themselves to be more. And when I do that, that's sacred. Like, that's right. So individual. I'm just going to skip that, answering that.
No problem. Typically, how many clients do you have in a day or in a month?
So, it's interesting, right? This is right now we're talking during COVID-19. I have 4 children at home. And I've had to find this balance of my business and my family. So I coach several people during the day, and what I've needed to find was the ability for, you know, my children to be taken care of. I generally talk to people either in the morning when my husband is available or at night. And it's interesting because my children, you know, it used to be that my children were young. So I was busy during the day, but at night I put them to sleep, and that's when I did my work. Now my children are older, and they're going to sleep after I do. So I end up coaching during the day, and also in the evening hours, I take my car out and I talk to my clients in my car. So I do morning and evening hours.
So that's pretty impressive because you're balancing it all out despite the fact that you have a full house at home sometimes and you still find time for clients to help with their challenges.
Yes, a lot of my clients are also have taken my course, and my course walks them through the steps. So we have 8 lessons, but more importantly than the classes that they're doing is we have homework. And when my clients do these homework, which are very simple, but they're, you know, just ask yourself a question or write something down or create something small. And these exercises take them through it. So depending on the client's needs, some people I'm not so hands-on with. They're able to walk themselves through the program, see tremendous changes, and do it all on their own time. And others do opt for the personal coaching, and I offer that, and I just push it in, you know, wherever I can find a pocket of time.
And can you talk more about your courses, what they consist of, and who is it for?
So, the course, well, I have 2. One of them is called Power People. And one of them is called Wife Heal Your Life. So the Power People is for anyone who wants that level of coming to love themselves, improving their life by becoming someone better. Because what I found is, you know, I was trying to take care of my business, which wasn't working well. I was trying to take care of my relationship, my parenting, my, you know, everything was like, wasn't working. And what I ultimately found was that when I took really good care of myself and I started honoring myself and I really, really got to know myself better, that's when I became so much, all the other parts of my life improved because I was the thing, I was the piece in the center of all of it. So the power people is for people who want to empower themselves in their life and see tremendous changes. And then Wise Heal Your Life is specifically for relationships. It's geared towards anyone who's in a relationship and wants to improve the relationship, not by working on the relationship, because you can work on the relationship, but it doesn't do anything until you do your work, your internal work. Once you do your work, what people are saying is their relationship shifts overnight because they've done the internal work. So those are my courses. I'm currently working on two more. One of them is specifically geared to business, and one of them is going to be a membership, an ongoing membership of once a week. We have a class together. So those are the two projects that are on the table right now. So if your listeners want the course on money and business, or they want to be part of our membership, they can contact me and I will guide them to it.
Can you share your contact information?
Yes. I'm thinking what the best way to contact me at is. So first of all, you can go on my website, www.chanirosengarten.com. That's C-H-A-N-Y for Chani. Rosengarten is R-O-S-E-N-G-A-R-T-E-N for Rosengarten. So it's chanirosengarten.com. So that's one place to find me. But if you want to email me directly, you can email me at my personal email address, which is gchanyg. So it's gchanyg at gmail.com.
Thank you. And listeners, if you are feeling that you have right now challenges and you're kind of like at home because of the COVID-19, as we spoke before, you probably have time right now to actually train yourself for other skills that you're already kind of like lacking. And Chani's courses are kind of like right for you, because if you have, if you need help with empowerment, her courses are the right fit. Now, Chani, what are the top three skills that a good individual should have?
The top three skills. I think self-awareness, like knowing yourself. Communication. Being able to convey yourself and your thoughts to others. And your ability to rebalance, heal, and get back to your center.
So the three skills are communication.
Self-awareness. Communication. And resilience.
It's very powerful. Now, honey, while the listeners may be thinking about going through the transition in their life, in the meantime, what can you suggest about creating a goal and reaching it? Like any tips or advice that you can share for them to implement at this moment?
So, if you're looking to work on a goal, first of all, congratulations, right? It's pretty courageous to say to yourself, what do I want in my life? And what is it going to look like? And how am I going to get it? And whether you have a goal already, which means you may have asked yourself those questions, or if you don't have a goal, those are good questions to ask yourself. right? Even if you have your goal, check in with your goal. What do I want in my life? What will it look like when I have it already, when I achieved it? What will that goal look like? And how would I like to get it? So those are questions that you want to ask yourself around your goal. But once you come up with a picture, your picture will probably include many factors, right? There will be how you will feel, what it will look like, what it will take, like what are the steps. So when you think about a goal and you have clarity about all of that, you can, what I've really done is I have written down some very small steps towards that goal. What can I do today? And I write down several things. And from that list, I know that if I, you know, generally the attitude that I have towards it is, this is a list of possibilities. I can do any of them if I want to. Because what I do when I give myself the possibility, and I don't work with to-do lists because they are restrictive and they are uncomfortable. But when I have a list of possibilities, I know that I can do any of these things towards my own self-growth. All of these things are possibilities of how I can improve my life. So looking at that list, just choose the one that feels right to you. And know that when you're taking a step, even if it's a small step, every step we take changes who we are in this world. It changes so many things. We put small shifts into motion, and we give the world an opportunity to respond back to us. So take a small step. Write down all of your possibilities and do one. When you're done with one, if you are ready, take another one, right? Or transfer it to your list for tomorrow. But there are all these possibilities that are open to you as steps towards your goal. Your goal is, what is it going to be like when I have achieved this thing that I have a desire for in my life?
So you're suggesting not to go by the list because it's restrictive.
Well, I find that to-do lists, I mean, you know, if they work for you, great, but they can be pressuring, punishing, and demanding. And really, you're not here to whip yourself into place, right? You're not here to control yourself. You're here to evolve and to grow and to become the most you can be.
Right.
So taking a goal and saying, what does this ask from me? What do I need to do? And then taking steps towards that. Not because you have to, you want to. Your goals are yours. You make them because you want them. They're a desire that you have.
Now, lots of people have fears and feel like giving up. What methods have you used for overcoming your challenges?
Well, the challenge of giving up, the reason it's so challenging is because we tell ourselves that we fail. We say, oh, you couldn't do that. You know, that should have been easy. If it would have been easy, you would have done it. So stopping to knock myself up for things that I considered that I failed has been really helpful. And also, I know what really worked for me was this. I had all of these desires, all of these goals, tremendous big goals that I wanted to achieve. And every day that I wouldn't do it, I would waste some of my precious energy saying, oh, honey, you didn't do it. You failed. That's precious energy that I could have channeled into actually doing it. So what I ended up doing instead was, I know my goals are there. I've written them down. I know what I want, but it doesn't have to happen today. We don't have the ability to make things happen on our timeline. We can, though, we can bring it into our life. Having the desire and taking the action will eventually bring it into our life. So So I adopted this way of thinking where I know that my goals will happen if I only relax about them. If I take a chill and I trust that they will happen and I take some steps in the direction of what I want, I can't fail. So the things that haven't happened yet, or the things that I tried and they didn't happen, I mean, I've rewritten my book, The Boundary Is You, twice, completely from scratch, twice, because they weren't saying what I wanted to say in exactly the way that I wanted to say them, in a way that was powerful and conveyed exactly the depth of my message, right? Does that mean I failed? No. It means that I have this desire to bring this into the world, and I will keep on trusting. I keep on trusting in my process. And what ended up happening for me is that the things that were on my list for a while, and I kind of was like, is it going to happen? They all happen. They all happen. Trust yourself that if you have a desire, you will get there. But also, take a big chill on yourself. You don't need to be hard on yourself. We're so hard on ourselves. We work hard enough. The fact that we made a goal, that we had a desire to do something, most people don't even do that, right? Most people just stay satisfied with what they have. And not because they are necessarily satisfied, they're afraid to dream big. They're afraid to take action on their behalf. They're afraid to step out of their little comfort zone. The fact that you stepped out, and usually when we step out, we face challenges. We face opposition. So your opposition really is an indicator of your bravery. That's all it is. And now the fact that you have that bravery also tells you that you'll get there. And so therefore, for me, just relax on it. Just relax on it completely, because you know it's going to happen. In the right moment, it'll all come together. And I've seen this over and over again. So I try it. You know, I want to say trust me on this one, but I'm also going to say try it for yourself. Give it a half a year. Just let it go, right? You have the goal. The goal knows that it needs to happen. You know that it needs to happen. You're taking some steps. But outside of just the steps we can take, so many things in the world need to happen. You need to meet the right people. You need to have the right mindset. You need to have the right time frame. Things need to come together for you. And so trust that it will, and you'll see that it will. And let me know, right? Let me know when those goals come, all just come together in the most amazing way.
Right. Now tell me about a person you admire and why that person have made an important impact.
Who do I admire? Can I say Oprah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say Oprah. I like Oprah because, you know, following her story from where she came until where she is, I relate to that because I've had to work through a lot of stuff in my life. I mean, when I started out in my journey towards success, I was not who I am today. Like a shard, right? I was a piece of myself. I felt half dead. I felt unsuccessful. I felt helpless. I felt powerless. I felt afraid. I was afraid of using my voice. I was afraid of communicating. Things weren't working in my life. And so I was able to take everything that I've gone through, plus everything that I am and who I grew up to be and what my background is, and I've been able to hold that lovingly like I would a child. I'm able to take my history and hold it lovingly. And that has helped me rise up and become, you know, my own version of Oprah. And so she's given me a lot of strength.
You know, like every time I have a guest speaker on the show, they tell me also Oprah. And it's kind of like, wow, you know, even I admire her. Yeah, it's true.
Yes. And I just want to say, right, I mean, Oprah's very public, so it's easy to identify her. There are a lot of people, a lot of you who are listening right now, are people who've come from where you came from and built yourself up in your own life in the most amazing way. And you may not have the publicity that she has. Right? By saying Oprah, I do not want to negate all the people who are tremendously impactful. They may not have the same publicity because they're not in television. That's not their job. But they have taken what they were given and they have turned it, they've spun it into gold. So in many ways, we are all like that. We've all taken who we are, and we've taken it into who we are becoming. So, you know, there are a lot of wonderful people in the world.
Tell me when you were the most or the least satisfying in your career journey.
Well, when I started out, I worked as a teacher, and the person who was hiring me did not really want to hire me, but I ended up being hired. I write about it in my book. It's a long story. In any case, it was so painful. I did not have a very good sense of self back then. And she was overpowering for me. And I felt criticized and I felt afraid to the point where I was going through so much stress. I remember thinking, like, my ability to think was compromised. I couldn't think straight. I was under so much stress. I wasn't sleeping at night. Every night I was like, oh, tomorrow I'm going back there, you know? And I had to just bring in all of my reserves of courage just to show up. And it was beyond painful. It was very, very painful. So that was a painful experience. Not good. And the thing that I took away from there, right, during that time, I was just, I see myself as being tremendously courageous, just showing up every day, having so much anxiety and fear to go in there, knowing I'm going to be criticized, really just being afraid and not being successful. I didn't have the resources to become successful. It was hard.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just want to say that teaching in general, that's what teachers mostly experience, because there is always going to be performance evaluation, and there is always somebody who is above the teacher. So criticism is the most common, and it's kind of like felt ungrateful. For kind of like you are doing the job, but you're serving the kids, but somebody else is not happy about it. So I do understand what you went through.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, if any of the listeners out there are teachers, I'm sorry if you're going through that, because, you know, as a parent of children myself, I want my children's teachers to come in there in their light, not in their darkness. I want my teachers to come in there and serve the children from a place of empowerment, from knowing that they're there to serve the children. All the parents out there need the teachers. All the children out there need teachers who are empowered. So if we are in a position where we are supervising teachers, let's do that gracefully. And if we're teachers, what I ultimately learned, not during the experience, but after, I ended up still teaching after for a different employer. But what I ended up learning from that experience was how important it is for me to have my own sense of self. Like, I need to value what I'm doing. I need to be able to say to whoever's supervising me, look, this is what I chose to do. I chose to do this because this is in the best interest of the children. I know what I'm doing, right? So having that empowerment is really important. Ultimately, by having such low power, such powerlessness, what I ended up having to learn was empowerment. And what that gave me was everything, tremendous joy. But I think that as teachers, we can hopefully come to it from a place of power, because that's what the children need, right? What ends up happening when we're disempowered, when anyone who's disempowered disempowers further, that's why you'll see that in a company structure, if the people in the executive offices are being disempowering, the supervisors are being disempowering to the people who they are supervising. Whereas if the executives are being, know what they're doing, are doing it from a place of organization and empowerment, and they know what they're doing and what their goals are, that's what they're passing down to the supervisors, who are passing it on to their employees. It's important. But for any of us who are not in the position, we're not the executives, right? If you are the supervisor or if you are the employee and you are in that position, by you knowing why you're there, who you are, what your strengths are, you're not there to volunteer. You're not getting any favors from a business. Any business who's employing you employs you because they need you. Otherwise, they wouldn't employ you. So knowing that you are of tremendous service and tremendous value to the company, starting to really own the value, like you know your value, you bring that energy into the company and it can create shifts. And if it doesn't create immediate shifts in everyone around you, it creates a shift for you. For me, that year, I was young, it was my first job, and I was completely disempowered. In the future, what I was able to do was say, why am I here? What value am I bringing? Why are they employing me? They need me more than I need them. No amount of money that they're paying me can ever compensate for the value, the time, and the love that I'm giving them. That's what I bring to the table. That's important. So knowing my value was able to create a shift in how I showed up, and the children need that. The business needs that, right? If you are an employee and your supervisor is harassing you, guess who gets the brunt of it? The clients do. It's not good for any company. So if there's a company culture in your company where people are putting each other down or bringing out the worst in each other or criticizing, that's not good for the company, and it's not good for the client either. It's not good for business. Businesses are there to serve people, and it starts internally.
Right. I totally agree. Even I say to my clients that even your listeners need to know that even if you are looking for a job, I hate when people say, I just need any job, or I'm looking to get promoted. It's not what the company needs. It's also what they know. They know that you need a job, so they will kind of like squeeze anything out of you, meaning like your time and your energy. But you need to know also the value of yourself, what you can offer, because they need you as well. So it's both ways.
Yeah.
It's both ways.
Oh, yeah.
Now, honey, what would you advise yourself to your younger self?
Well, so here's the thing. Let's go back for a second, okay, to what you just said, because I love what you said about getting the job.
Yeah.
When we're looking for a job, one of the big fears and the big motivators is I need money, right? So there is that very real thing. Like, what am I going to do with my time? I trained in this area. I need the position. I need the position for the money. I need the position for my time. I need the position for my I need to know that I'm okay and that I have a place in the world. It's very vulnerable to need a job and to be looking for a job. And so we are willing to trade away so much because we're vulnerable. But if you can take a moment to say, yes, it's true, I'm vulnerable. Like, I need all of this. I need the money. I need the time. I need the job, right? So that's me.
Right.
But that's on the vulnerability side. But what about the strength? You also have strength. So what are you bringing? And you start valuing yourself. So if you're asking, what would I do? What would I advise my younger self? This is the advice I have. Love yourself. Know yourself. Value yourself. Even in an uncomfortable position. Even in a vulnerable position. Everyone's in a vulnerable position. The person who's hiring you needs help. So if you're in the position where you're hiring, you need help. You're vulnerable too. And what you want, what your strengths are, you are offering an opportunity for someone to bring their time and their strength and to partner up with you. And if you're someone who's looking for a job, yes, you're vulnerable. It's true. You can honor that. Feeling vulnerable is uncomfortable. And you're very brave for being in this position. But what strengths do you have? You have tremendous strengths. You have a lot of experience. You're bringing in experience even if you're just starting out. Like, you have experience. So what is that experience? What are you bringing to the table? What are you offering? Come with that. Know yourself. Love yourself. I think if I have one piece that I could, you know, give to my younger self and to anyone else is, you are so wonderful. You are so wonderful. You better start loving yourself.
That's very inspiring, because a lot of us, women, especially women, don't feel that they love themselves. They kind of like love others, but they forget to love themselves. So
yeah.
I truly resonate with
that. I think
it's
universal. I mean, men out there hate themselves in all kinds of ways, but women, when we don't like ourselves, we try to like other people as if that would be the solution.
Right.
And men start self-destructing, getting into different behaviors and addictions and things that are self-destructing to them. They neglect their health. And, you know, well, I mean, women do it too. But I don't know which one is better or worse. But we all need to love ourselves gently and lovingly, because the world is waiting for us to step into our power. I mean, if you're looking for a job, your employer is waiting for you to step into your power and say, I can do this and I can do that, and I'm willing to offer it to you. You know, we're all waiting for you to step into your power and start loving yourself.
Right. Now, if you weren't a coach or an author, what would you do instead?
It's funny, like all the things that I want to do, I'm planning to do them, and I do them, and I've done some of it, you know? So I'm a mother, and that takes up a lot of my love and energy. I also love to take care of myself. I love traveling. I love being in nature. So those are things that I love doing. I love talking and teaching and speaking. So I do speak for people, and I do public speaking. I'd like to do more of that. I don't know. I think, you know, it used to be that I used to tell myself, imagine if I could be an author. And I am an author. You can be whatever you want to be. So the things that you want to be, you're able to be them, right? So in my position right now, I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, the things that I want to be, I probably am. But if I would have to have an alternative life, maybe I would want to be a designer or something in the arts, like an artist, a designer. What else was I thinking? Yeah, probably that.
Wow. That shows you have creativity.
kind
of like very creative. No.
Well, the truth is, I mean, I am, right? I think that in a different life, I'd be an artist. I've created works of art, and I design my own home. So I think that whatever we want to be, it's a good question. We can all ask ourselves, right? If you're listening, ask yourself, what would I want to be if my whole life, kind of, if I get born into a new life and I can choose whatever it is that I would be, what would I be? And you'll find that those things can be completely wild and out of the box, but some of it you can incorporate into your life right now.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And also with so much information out there, online especially, anybody can just learn the skill that they wish they learned. So there shouldn't be any excuse or obstacle to kind of like make it happen. Now, honey, how do you define success?
Success is being where you want to be. So we each have our own vision of what we want for ourselves. And when we are in the process and going towards that and getting closer to that, that's success. And you'll notice that when you achieve a certain measure of success, the stakes get higher because it's basically a vision, right? When you are driving and you see to a certain extent of the road and you're like, I'm going to get there. But when you get there, you keep on going. So success is being where you want to be. And when we are not where we want to be, or we've gone away, or we've had these experiences, which we like to call mistakes, but are really us turning away from ourselves, getting back to success is turning back and saying, so what do I want? And what steps can I take towards that? So for me, for example, like 10 years ago, I started out as a writer and I was dreaming. Like I did articles and I tried just getting into the magazines and I got into the magazines. And then I wanted to have, write more steady and I got those more steady jobs. At some point I had a vision of, I'm going to be writing a serial novel and it's going to be the most amazing serial novel, well read and enjoyed and really special. And it was a far off goal for me. It was a vision, but I got there, right? I got there because that's what happens with our vision. If we keep going, we get there. And so, you know, my horizon has expanded, but it's always success. When I felt the most success were the times when I was aligned with what I wanted for myself.
And did you have any support? Did anybody like support you with your vision, with your goals?
So I always had people, let's say in writing, like I remember wanting to be a writer way before I became a writer. The way I really got into writing and I gained my success was through connecting with other writers who were successful and also getting coached by people who were not writers, but who were able to see my strengths. So that's why I said those resources. The resources were people. So wherever I'm going, I connect with the people who are already there and are doing it and want to share their wisdom. And also the people who can hold space for me and coach me towards my strength.
And how do you find these people?
So let's say with writing, it took a while, right? Because I remember I wanted to be a writer. I saw an ad that someone was looking for something written. So I wrote it. It ended up being never published because that magazine folded. So I was looking for resources. And then because I was open to it, I moved to Israel, actually. And I saw this course was being offered on writing. And I joined. It was a course that was offered by one of my favorite writers. And when I called her and she picked up the phone and I was like, am I talking to you? Like, am I really talking to you? Like, you're basically my hero inside of my head, but you're a real person. It was amazing. And I sat at her table and we got together bi-weekly and she had a group, you know, and I had that opportunity to talk to all of these writers, and that's how I got into it. So I was searching for a while before it kind of came to me, but I was open and I found the right people. So opening myself up and asking the questions is what led me to the right people.
I see. And do you agree that also networking kind of like helps if you
Yes, yes. So networking is interesting because sometimes it could feel like we're shooting in the dark, right? We're like reaching out and reaching out, but real networking, which is connecting to people who might not be the right fit, but they're still someone that you formed a connection with. Every connection with every person leads you, enriches you, and leads you further. So definitely networking is extremely valuable.
Thank you, honey, so much for tonight. I appreciate for your time, for being with me tonight. Honey, again, how can people reach out to you?
So thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure. They can reach out to me directly on my email, which is ghanyg@gmail.com. That's ghanyg@gmail.com. You can also find my website, which is www.ghanyrosengarten.com. And you can also find me through my book's website, which is www.theboundaryisyou.com. But probably the best and most direct way to reach me is through my personal email, which I said is ghanyg@gmail.com.
Listeners, if you are joined to our mailing list, this information will be shared in the email for the next day. If you have any questions, you can email me also. To join our email list, you have to go to armedradioglobal.com and you can join and subscribe to us, and the shows are going to be shared with you if you weren't able to listen to it live like today. Thank you, honey, so much. And listeners, I'll see you next Wednesday. Talk to you. Bye.
Hello, this is Sarah Yusupo. Stop by my show, Let's Talk Careers with Sarah, Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, where I will discuss about your dream job, career coaching, answering your questions regarding careers, exclusively on TuneIn Satellite and the Armed Radio Global Networks.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.